This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This week's episode of GameScoop is sponsored by 4Hymns.
IGN. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hadfield. Joining me this week is Tina Amini.
Hi.
Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
And CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Before anybody asks, Justin is on vacation. He's allowed to go on vacation, so he's not with us.
Why did you drag us in here on a Monday?
Because it's a short week for all of us here at IGN. It's a holiday week in the U.S., and it's a very short week for me.
Oh, hold on.
You know how it's coming.
Canada Day.
It's a holiday
Day.
Week in Canada, too.
That's true. You're right.
Canada Day A. Yeah.
Well, so what, do you get like the day off on Canada Day?
Yeah, we get the day off Canada Day on the 1st is the holiday. Yeah.
Do you also light up fireworks?
We do, but I will say that I've been to fireworks shows in Canada. Never as much budget behind them as the ones I've seen in the U.S.
That's a really polite way of saying
it. We like to go over the top
you
here
guys
in
do.
The U.S.
Yeah. I'm always waiting for something like, you know, massive eagle to come screaming down.
Did you light off fireworks yourself when you were a kid?
I did a little bit, but mostly those sparklers. They were a little safer. We did those
only
lots.
Have safe
fireworks. Yeah.
Very Canada reserved.
That's right. I just didn't want to like lose
What about
finger.
Bottle rockets? You ever play with those?
Yes, but it was one of those things I never played with those till later on, and I think I was out of the house by then. It's like trouble.
Black hats, they have black hats in Canada.
Yeah, deja vu, like Matrix style. Yeah,
that's like here.
Are these still firework names?
Yeah,
like a string of firecrackers.
That's like the most common packaging.
But New York has all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
they have like hardcore fireworks.
We have to go upstate to get our fireworks.
There you go.
But a lot of that stuff was usually illegal. So like firecrackers and stuff like that, you couldn't really have readily available in Canada. So you'd always have to go to the U.S. to get them and bring them back.
Did you guys ever have the ones that shoot off little guys in parachutes?
No.
That sounds familiar to me.
They're so cool. So really? They're like this big and they go pop and they fly way up in the air and then the little parachutes come down with glowing embers on them.
Oh,
it's so cool. And you can kind of like see them swinging, but you want to do those in the day so you can kind of see.
Do you try to catch it in your hands just you
well, they're
get
burning.
Burned?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's really fun. I think those are the ones you have to like really watch around kids because they look so fun to play with.
Yeah. So there's a show about
your
that.
Cat comes out and starts batting it, regrets decisions immediately.
Pets hate fireworks.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
It's so brutal on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Firecracker Scoop, we've got a great show for you this week. But first, you know, unfortunately, you did lose 20 questions last week, which means that legally, Sam is required to wear his eye patch.
Well, I was going to save it for 20 questions.
The whole episode? Whoa.
Brutal.
He's committed.
Look, I don't make up the rules.
Okay,
this
that's
is
fair.
Just, you know, we have to abide by the law.
Is this...
So the podcast listeners at home know Sam is now wearing an eye patch.
I feel like you're wearing it very incorrectly. Yeah.
No, there's a right way to wear
I'm
it.
I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to, the string isn't supposed to go under your cool. Right. I think it, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, just above it.
Just across the eyeball.
We need to channel
would,
your the, best.
Yeah, if you
your
would mind.
Naked eyeball.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. That's go. Better.
No, I like it when it goes. Oh, I see what, I know what I did.
I think
maybe
the whole
the
purpose
other eyes.
Of the eye patch.
Great audio content.
Yeah, is to be able to, is to actually see out of your other eye.
Why is it pointy on one side?
I think the style.
Does it point down so you know?
It looks very uncomfortable.
Right. It's the style.
Is the other
which was the style at the time?
Sam Claiborne, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Normal.
Sam Claiborne.
Looking good.
I think as normal as you can get.
Yeah, that's looking good.
How?
It was a grievous loss.
Well, you know, each week is a chance to make up for. The last week.
There you go.
We do have a great show for you this week. We're going to be reading through the July 1993 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Well, one of us will be reading through it because I can't read like this.
But first, it's time. That's once again that time of year to check in with Game of the Year Watch.
Oh, cool.
We are halfway through 2019. Two quarters down.
Yeah.
Two quarters to go. Time to take stock of all the best games of the year. Mm-hmm. Talk about what...
This is exactly halfway through the year.
I mean, exactly. Today's July 1st.
Yeah.
Man. One eyeball down, 6 months.
It's actually like there's something, things are coming together. Halfway through the year, July 1st, it's on a Monday. It's the first day of the month.
It's the first day of the rest of our year.
Oh, man.
Today's the first day of the rest of our year.
Not looking good, Sam.
The rest of our lives.
Yeah. We have not given out 10 this year.
Yeah.
But no God of War. What are you going to do?
No Nintendo games.
No
really,
Red Dead Redemption 2. Well, what are you going
to
do?
And I'm having trouble thinking of the games that got close to a 10. I know we're going to talk about those. But
there's a trilogy of games that all got 9.5s this year from IGN.
Mm-hmm. Have those been Nintendo?
Different franchises.
Most recently, Super Mario Maker 2.
Mm. Not surprised. Not surprised.
So 9.5 is what you're...
Yeah. What are the other two, do you think?
Resident Evil 2.
Nope.
Ooh, Resident Evil 4.
I was going to guess.
Just any Resident Evil.
Did Apex Legends
get...
Got a 9.
Oh, 9.
Okay.
You gave Bloodstained a 9.5.
No.
I was going to say
in my heart, I did. But for the everyone else, it's an 8.8.
No, I think you gave it a 9.5.
just the Switch version.
Wait, other 9.5 games that came out.
Yeah, so Super Mario Maker 2, along with...
Hint. It's a mini 20 questions. Need a hint.
Seriously.
It's a...
Look.
Is it on current generation?
It's a ninja samurai themed game.
Oh. The Dark Souls-like from this year.
Yeah.
Oh,
Sekiro.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Sekiro. Look, this is a Monday situation, not anything else.
Yeah,
right?
That's
I just want to point out, we hit our Monday mornings hard here.
Yeah.
And we have to do so much stuff.
I really want us to be in the new studio. I got to say that. I you know, photobombed. Exactly. I hinted at it last week. They're still doing the upgrades. So because we had to do it on Monday, it's going to be ready in the next couple days. So. Mm.
Are you saying that's why we're off this week?
Yeah.
Just well, all our minds are on the studio.
That's
we just can't help it.
All right, so Sekiro.
And Mario Maker 2 and Devil May Cry 5.
Oh, ooh, that makes sense. Yeah. That's a good one.
That was a good one. Those are the three highest,
a little bit of that.
Highest rated games from IGN this year so far.
Nice.
I don't know.
Weird year so far. Last year felt a little bit fuller this time of year.
I think so. I think for me, 2019 has not been very strong for AAA games.
Mm-hmm.
There's been lots of really cool indie stuff that I've been playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, once you had God of War at the beginning of last year, I mean, you felt like that was going to be the game all the way through. That was a... I'm not sure.
Yeah, see, that's bias right there. Yeah. You just made your determination in January.
I kind of did,
When did that game come out?
That game was out. I remember it was March, April.
Yeah.
But once I played
nobody
that
knows.
Game, it was so good. I knew it.
Other high-scoring games this year, games that have gotten a 9 or a higher. Total War 3 Kingdoms got a 9.3. That's a
video game.
A strategy tactics game.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
It's a Sega, love it,
Sega game. Mm-hmm. Sega published game.
Sam, you look so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Do you feel okay?
Do you feel like okay?
Boring into your skin.
Well, yeah, exactly. Does it look tight?
Just follow the sound of our voices.
As
long as you're comfortable.
His face is all red.
Feels great.
And then there's what? 7 games have gotten a 9 this year. Layers of Fear 2. A psychological horror game.
Mm-hmm.
Not played it myself.
No.
Observation. You familiar with this one?
I'm not.
It's trapped in space, 2001-like, where I think you are the AI observing your crew. Risk of Rain 2, even though it's in early access, we give that a 9, and that is a third-person roguelike shooter. Not played that one either.
Mm.
And then Mortal Kombat 11, Apex Legends, Slay the Spire, and the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Man.
Gotcha.
That's, those are the, those
you're
are
close
the,
with that RE2 guess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But like that's the 9
that's my game of the year. But you like Slay the Spire best, right?
Slay the Spire is one of my favorite games of the year.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe Resident Evil 2 Remake, though, would be my favorite. If I were going to vote right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What about you guys? If you're voting for game of the year right now, what do you think you would vote for?
I think same. But that's just sad for the rest of the lineup.
Yeah.
I cheated and wrote down the games that I've played this year so far because I have bad
memory.
I wrote
them down, too.
Yeah.
Obviously,
that's called being prepared and being professional, not cheating.
Yeah, Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5, and honestly, The Division 2, but I didn't play it nearly as much as I wanted to. Hmm. Right. I couldn't sync up with a good group.
Yeah,
but,
that's an 8.5.
But I liked playing it.
See, I feel like a lot of these games are, I mean, I guess besides Devil May Cry, which I feel like that's, well, Sekiro as well, actually. I played probably about like 30 or 40 hours of Sekiro. I haven't got a chance to beat it, but I really actually enjoy that game a lot. But I do like Apex Legends, too. I think there's something to be said about, I think these games get a little bit of a bad rap where, you know, it's impossible to satiate that audience. And, you know, that game is so well done.
Like service games or...
Yeah, service game. Like, you know, constantly updated weekly basis. And then they're in season 2 right now. It's just, you know, they launch and they change so much over the year. It's hard to actually grade them after, you know.
Well, you also have to be the kind of player that keeps up with that kind of game to really be able to assess it by the end of the year. Like, what does Apex Legends look like in December?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or rather November when we're making votes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish it were enough that you guys had a great time playing that game for 3 weeks. Like, that's the mark of a good game, too.
Well, that's the thing.
That's not what EA wants to happen.
Exactly. Well, that's like the marketing and, you know, monetary side of it, but the art side of it should be like, we like that game. I have no depth perception. No.
Just keep smashing
everyone.
Like, but no, I think that's it, right? Is that you look at that game, and I mean, from a AAA standpoint, which is free to play, that, in my mind, just was one of those games that came out there and did that in a way that I don't think any other game had done. I mean, Fortnite came out and did that a little bit, but they had that Save the World before, and so it was seen almost as like an early access game versus the way Apex Legends launched. It was AAA right off the start, and it still feels and plays amazing. So, I just don't know if they'll be in contention, which sucks.
Right, I thought there'd be one of those every month after that happened, because it was like, it seemed like such a repeatable thing.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been.
Well, not only that.
Apex really made a splash.
Oh, absolutely. I just think that from a development standpoint, that's a very risky model, and I don't think there's a lot of other studios besides somebody like Respawn who feels a lot of confident in that shooter space could do that. You know, but who knows? I mean, Jedi Fallen Order actually looks pretty cool, too. I don't know if that will be in contention, but hopefully. I mean, I didn't get a chance to see the whole Behind Closed Doors demo, but everybody who has had, you know, lots of great things to say about it. So,
I liked it.
Tina played the whole demo.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was tougher than I expected. I performed a lot of Dark Souls style rolling to avoid a lot of the enemies.
There was like a 25 round combat session before
for just
even
the tutorial. Yeah, exactly.
That's cool though.
And it was in
very intensive training. Mm-hmm. Very long demo because of this. Actually, probably one of the more unique demos I've ever played on the show floor anywhere.
Awesome.
Just because you normally don't get that level of training, and I think that speaks to its difficulty, obviously, and
just
the difficulty, a lot of the combo moves that you have to pull off as well.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. I mean,
the enemies have, like, legit AI, so they were like, you see somebody play through that knows what they're doing in that EA demo, but when you are, like, playing yourself, like, you don't know how to counter. And, like, she had to learn, like, basically on the spot from some the devs were
able
to, like, how to counter, like, everything. And then every single round is different enemies, and then the combos of them were good. Like, it was smart combat.
Yeah, absolutely. And the enemies play off each other really well, too, because some are in your face, some are targeting you from far away, others are, like, sweeping around behind you. So it's, like, very complicated, lots of things that you have to be mindful of. And then I kept forgetting, like, which trigger is force pull and which is force push and which is like throwing my lightsaber and which combo of other things does this other thing. Damon saw.
Well, yeah, we were both watching.
He was witnessing.
But you can totally tell, like, as the game, if you play the game, like, that the game teaches you that.
Yeah.
But this, they just give you everything, and they're like, well, remember, you still have
you get comfortable.
Like, you don't remember
it.
That because you're in the middle of an E3 demo, and there's, you know, 60 different attacks that you've skill tree unlocked, and you just don't know what those.
I think it's promising, though.
But yeah, and I think
Wookiee
that
character model aside.
Yeah, and from a Star Wars franchise, as well as they laid out all the things that the game is not going to do, so everybody I think is prepared for, like, oh, you know, no microtransactions, no loot, or all this other stuff that I think, you know, has marred previous versions of Star Wars in the past. Hopefully, the gameplay, melds well with the story, and it would be a great game. So,
and there's some like unique artwork that they've done. I forget what they said was like a unique design that they did. Was it like inside the AT-AT, or was it something?
Yeah, well, I was saying, like, I never see the insides of these, and they're like, well, you get to see them in like Clone Wars or Rebels, but like this is a different era of them.
Yeah.
It was really cool. They had like the speeders inside.
Yeah, exactly. So they had like a little bit of creative freedom to just play around with their own environments, which is cool. Good for them.
I was thinking, like, last year my game of the year was like Red Dead 2. Easily.
Yeah.
And they keep on adding little, like, online things. And, like, recently, like, maybe, like, a month ago, they added, like, story stuff to online. Yeah. I still never even started the online story stuff. So, like, what if at the end of this year, you know, our game of the year again could just be Red Dead?
It would have to be Red Dead Online because technically that's a different experience from Red Dead 2.
Right. But, like, the marketing. If there's enough of that single player, like-ish stuff that's in the online world, but it's all story, like, I'd be so into that.
I guess I'm ready to play more. Technically speaking, Red Dead Online launched
also came last
this
year.
This year. It was, like, last month. Yeah.
We finally reviewed it this year.
Yeah.
I think we gave it,
because
like
it came out of beta, formally.
Yeah.
That's tricky scene, though, when it comes to reviewing games. So, like, stuff like that. Like, how do you assess that versus, like, an actual release, right?
Well, she just explained it.
But that's my point. So is that...
She's the editor-in-chief, and she says we're allowed to do it.
Let's just cut this video so CJ's thing came first, and then mine came.
Cool. Just saying. Love you, CJ. Is that fair? Is that fair to do? Just in general. I mean...
It's not fair to the reviewer because it's confusing.
That's true.
Or is it fair? Is it fair to the voting rounds?
Yeah, as well. I mean, it's...
No, I mean, that's the thing. Even Apex Legends, it's difficult because you have the players that are like, yeah, I'm going to be committed to this game for the rest of the year. And then you have players like me that fell off after a month.
Yeah.
I'm not the World of Warcraft girl I used to be, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Too many games out there.
That might be a hit this year, too. The
World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft.
Classic?
Classic,
yeah. Yeah, I'll play it.
People are flipping for that game. It's going to be so good.
I sit next to James Duggan, so I know.
You mean you're biased?
Yeah, he is.
He loves it.
Yeah. Do you guys have a sense of if we did vote on Game of the Year right now based on this, how the staff would vote?
Resident Evil 2 was one of the last games that we all kind of widely talked about in the office. Maybe Sekiro also?
Apex.
Apex?
Definitely. Apex? There's some people behind Apex.
That's true.
I feel like if we put this up as a poll, and maybe we should do this, then, our audience, I think, would probably go Sekiro.
I think they would too.
We'll do the Game of the Year watch
that's a good idea.
Tomorrow. That'd be really fun.
Done deal.
But that's
Outer Worlds might get it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The people that are playing Outer Wilds.
Oh, Outer Wilds. Yeah. Mm. The weird
people
thing
that are playing Outer Wilds right now are saying it's their
game.
That's true.
I know. We gave it a fairly lower score. We gave it an 8.4. So it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of in a weird spot.
Well, this is what I was saying about release month, too. I feel like if you had have taken Apex Legends and released it in like the later quarter of the year, like September, I just feel like it would probably have a more viable chance than at the beginning of the year. Just because of the type of game it is.
We'll see if Outer Wilds continues to.
Wilds is supposed to have it's supposed to have a great ending, and we wrote about that today.
Yeah.
Check out Tom Mark's piece on that. But people are saying, like, if you're going to play that game, like, beat it, because that is the way to know that it's a really
good. What did Ace Combat 7 get? What did we get?
7
Ace
something.
Combat 7? Oh, okay. Because a lot of people were talking about that when that came out.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 11.
That's a 9.
Yeah. The problems with that, with like that staff question, which is a really good question, is that we have people on staff that flipped for that game and love it, including our reviewer, Mitchell.
What game?
For Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people ended up playing it besides him that would be big of a crowd as like, you know, the Resident Evil 2 crowd.
That's why I don't know that a fighting game has ever won Game of the Year from IGN.
Mm-hmm. Smash, maybe.
Yeah.
Smash.
But remember, when we read these old magazines, everyone was obsessed with Street Fighter 2.
Street Fighter, yeah.
Across the board. Like, they couldn't print enough information about Street Fighter 2 in their magazines. Like, but now, today, fighting games are a much more niche genre. Just like Total War 3 Kingdoms, a big strategy game like that. Like,
yep.
Not a lot of people are going to play that one.
I also feel like there are some games where if you polled the audience, like if we put Days Gone in there, I think that would be a contender in the sense of that game came out when not much else was coming out, especially AAA-wise. So I think people gravitated towards it a lot because of that. So I think you might see stuff like that pop up mid-year.
Mm-hmm. And then I put together a little list of other games that I personally loved this year. I tweeted this out earlier today. Wargroove, which came out earlier this year. The Advanced Wars-like game, which I don't think you played, Sam.
I should get that for my flight. Out of the country this weekend.
Yep. That'd be really good for that. But I also loved Katana Zero.
But it gets really hard, you said, right?
It does get
like
difficult.
Like annoyingly so?
It gets challenging.
Okay.
Katana Zero would also be appropriate for your trip.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Did you beat that?
No. Not yet.
I've only been watching
Veronica Mars for my entire existence for the last 2 weeks.
Obviously,
for my review. Yeah, for work. Yeah.
I liked Bloodstained, which you talked about last week. Yep. I do love Slay the Spire, but it's a card game. It's not going to be for everyone, but a lot of us, Tom Marks, Dan Stapleton, Casey, we all really like it a lot. Yeah.
Nice.
I like Cadence of Hyrule. I started playing that over the weekend.
Nice. That's really cool.
It's just like so different. I didn't play Crypt of the Necrodancer, so I really like the Zelda, like the vibe of it, all the characters and like the sprite work. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit hard to like wrap my head around the rhythm mechanics. And, like, memorizing enemy patterns and knowing how you're supposed
it'll
to approach
click.
Them.
Yeah, it'll click and you'll like it a lot. You need to get the sword that only swipes the first three spots in front of you.
Yeah, I got that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just switch to that and it's basically a cheat. But yeah, that game, I was just thinking about this a lot, that it has a really good Zelda style, but none of the enemies look like any other Zelda game. So it's like the Lizalfos are like really funny and they have like funny facial expressions and they'll like charge you down.
Yeah.
But they don't look like they do in any
other
games.
Yeah, you're right. It's really cool. Yeah, I didn't put it together.
It's like its own thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of work went into the art of that game.
But then what is the like roguelike aspect of it? Because every time you die, the world is the same. The map is the same.
If you start that game again or if you look at my game, it's a completely different overworld.
Okay, I gotcha.
And there's elements that are in the same place. But even in the blocks that make up those screens, those change up. And then also dungeons, certain dungeon floors are randomly generated every time.
Gotcha.
Crazy.
Interesting. I also liked Steam World Quest, another card game, turn-based RPG. I liked Blaster Master Zero 2.
Nice.
Really, really good. And I feel like not many people played that one.
Yeah.
That one's on Switch. And then I really liked the most recent expansion for Hearthstone. It's awesome single player content in there. What about you guys? Any other like favorites from this year?
We already mentioned it, but Bloodstained is absolutely my second runner up.
That's cool. That after Resident Evil 2.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
I think we hit all mine. And then I mentioned Katana Zero last week. So.
Yeah. Really same. Good. Sekiro. I think Sekiro probably right now has the ability to be one of those, you know, top three game of the year sort of things.
Hmm. No one's mentioned Rage 2, I noticed.
I played Rage 2 a little bit.
Yeah, I did
played
too.
A little bit too.
Draw me in.
I tried getting back into it last night and it just wasn't really grappling.
It's one of those things where it's like a popcorn flick. You just go, you expect
it.
Yeah,
totally. You have to have
hours,
midway expectations.
Yeah.
What'd you remember?
Mario Maker 2,
yeah.
Yeah, the single player is really good. There's like 100 Mario levels in it that Nintendo made.
Nintendo made them.
I know.
Did they say to Sam from Nintendo?
That game is incredible.
It is really good. I was just playing a little bit with Brian there right before we came in, and I was looking at the UI changes and a bunch of the aesthetic details. There's enough that's the same, but then they've tweaked a bunch of little things, and then he showed me a Mario 3 level. Just the fact that I could slide downhill. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah. So good. I'm excited. You know, my kids and I are playing that every day on Wii U right now leading up to it. So I can't wait to go.
You know what I like about it? I was thinking about this a lot this weekend while I was playing with a friend. And she wasn't great at Mario games. And we were like playing through a lot of it. And it was just funny. Like, it's absurd.
Yeah.
And even levels Nintendo made are ones that people downloaded. We were just like rolling. It was like so funny. And I love how, like, even when you're designing the game, like, there's noises and just garbage and it's just hilarious.
It's really well done. Actually, somebody was asking, you know, what was your favorite E3 memory from over the years? When did Mario Maker launch when they had that original E3 championship game? What year was that? Mm. Was that 2016 or I don't want to quote the year.
Before that. It wouldn't have been 1 year before the Switch launched.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact.
I can't remember the year. I think it's 2015 or one of those years. It's crazy how long ago it was now. But that moment I actually walked into the war room and we were all watching that crazy moment where they were designing those stages and they were playing them on the stage for everybody else. Mm-hmm. It was like a flashback to the Wizard watching them play Mario 3 in that moment. I've never been more excited watching other people play a video game than in that moment watching Mario.
Explain what the Wizard is.
Do I have to do that for some people here right now?
Fred Savage,
going to California.
It's basically a commercial for Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Full feature film commercial.
that you watched in theaters.
It really was. But the moment those screens came down and they played through the Mario.
It's about little
level.
Kids playing in like a world championship.
It was so good.
Thing.
It was so good.
Very funny.
Do you guys know what IGN's most read article of the year is?
Article.
I think you just told us this and I still don't remember it.
No, that was
how
video.
Much of a Monday it's been. Oh, okay.
Article.
I'm going to say Dark Phoenix Easter eggs.
No.
It's going to be a review.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give us a hint.
Yeah, hint.
The game wasn't so hot.
Oh, Days Gone?
No, it was Anthem.
Oh,
perfect. That's a perfect
That makes good recipe. A lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because people had high expectations, so did we. Our IGN first was super positive and interesting.
And to be fair, I'm sure we also put up a review in progress.
So. Yep.
Yeah.
So it sort of draws out the life of the article.
Yeah. I actually cannot believe that was just this year that that game launched.
February, yeah.
Because when you think about what those games are supposed to do and how long they're supposed to last...
Wasn't like the same month as Apex Legends?
It was like the same week.
Yeah, yeah.
Apex
it was.
Completely. I mean, Anthem killed itself.
Yeah.
But man, that's Apex just steamrolled it.
I don't remember that.
Same publisher.
Well, because Destiny. Well, that's the other problem. I mean, and again, EA kind of did this last time to Titanfall 2, sandwiching it in between its Call of Duty competitors and everything else like that a couple years back. Yeah, I mean, poor Destin. Destin was pretty amped up on this game. And we saw it again at E3. We saw it the first time at E3 last year. And it did. It looked really good. It played good. But there was not, you didn't know if there was any substance there. Like from a looter shooter, you just, there's a lot that needs to be there.
Why are we feeling sympathy for Destin? You lost the thread, though.
Sorry. Because I was getting to
it. He was excited for it.
Because we were all excited for it. So when we played it.
I thought I was going to play a bunch.
Exactly, Sam. Yeah, well, there you go. So there's a lot of people I think. I feel the worst for Destin, though, because I think deep down, he wanted that Destiny transitional game where we were playing Destiny for 3-4 years. And I've been playing Destiny forever as well, and Halo games before that. I just did not feel like this was the Destiny killer or
it was supposed to be the replacement
to Destiny.
Yeah.
And so for the people who did believe that, I do feel bad for them.
I played more Division 2 than I expected I would.
Yeah, Division 2, I think.
Anthem.
Yeah, definitely. Because they made some changes that were seen as very positive in comparison to the first Division. And I mean, I think that's the trouble.
A lot of quality of life stuff, too.
Absolutely. I mean, you come up with a new IP and you just, you know, you're not sure what's happening. And obviously, we've seen and read tons of articles about how the game in development.
Mm-hmm. Well, Anthem 2.
Yeah.
Anthem 2.
2022.
Yeah, you think? I don't know. Is there a chance for Anthem 2?
It's just going to be Anthem spelled backwards.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Which is?
Metha? Is that what it is?
Metna?
Metna.
Meh.
Meh.
There it is. Meh.
It writes itself. Okay, I have to read our sponsor message, so everybody be cool. This week, GameScoop is sponsored by Hims. No one wants to have clammy hands or a tight throat ever, but it's particularly annoying when you're about to make a devastating point about the state of Metroidvanias in an increasingly crowded Battle Royale world to your learned coworkers on your video game podcast. Speaking 100% hypothetically, it is the worst. Did you know that 27 million Americans have a fear of public speaking? Well, Hims has teamed up with science to create a wellness brand for men. Go to 4hims.com to learn about options to treat the physical symptoms of glossophobia, the fear of public speaking, like a shaky voice, racing heartbeat, and the sweats. 4hims connects you to a doctor online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe you a medication that could help your physical symptoms. Those medications can be delivered right to your door in discreet packaging. Take action at 4hims.com and get back to telling the world what you really think. Now Scoop listeners can get a special offer from Hims. You can get started for just $10 right now at 4hims.com/scoop. That's forhims.com/scoop. 4hims.com/scoop. See website for full details and safety information. You know... Happy Canada Day, CJ.
Oh. What? Is that a clue?
Yeah.
What could possibly take
place? Is it Olympic Games?
No, it's Blades of Steel.
Hey, that's what it was.
A hockey game.
Yes.
Hockey game.
There it is.
That was really cute music.
That was solid music.
It's actually
really good. Good Konami music.
We'll hear another one a little bit later.
Blades of Steel.
CJ, hand me the July 1993 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly. I don't know what happened with the cover here.
Yeah, we're missing.
Is that intentional? Is that one of those fold-over posters?
It's supposed to be for Jungle Strike. For Jungle Strike, but we're missing something. We're missing this part of it.
We're missing half of it.
You know when you cut a piece of paper on top of a magazine, you're like, oh, shit, a cover here, too.
Yep.
That must be what happened. There's an ad for Mortal Kombat.
Naturally.
The original Mortal Kombat.
11? It says,
coming to leading game systems.
Oh, there we go. Ooh.
September 93.
Cool.
Without blood.
Look how bad the little transfer of
I know the little photos are really bad, but what is that?
They're so blurry.
Coming
to
leading
those with Polaroids like off screen.
Yeah. coming to leading video game systems.
Well, it's like, I mean, how it came to SNES.
It came to everything.
No, but that's my point. Yeah, what
I had it for Game Gear, and it was on Game Boy, and on Game Boy, it was
that's
such
right.
trash.
It was so bad. I mean, we have what other systems? I mean, it's too many. Too
like,
many.
What's so?
It did not come to TurboGrafx.
This is an ad for this third-party video game controller, which
oh my god.
The name of the company is very unfortunate. It's called STD. But in the ad, he's like piloting the giant controller underwater, shooting sharks, and it's pretty graphic. Like
there's just blood everywhere.
Yeah, this shark is torn in half, and there's blood all through the water. But I'm like, what? What does it have to do with anything?
Pretty sure sharks can't look down
cool.
in that direction.
I know,
like
the shark has to target him.
Sharks got crazy eyes. So
I thought maybe it was like
an
jab at Game Shark, like they would be a competitor. Mm. But I don't think Game Shark was around in 93. I don't know.
Sharks, that is weird.
It's like hyper real. The shark has a big cartoony eyeball.
The target
it's
on
a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. I don't know why they decided to go with.
I guess they couldn't license a game. So at the last minute, they're like, we need something that looks like a game.
There's an ad for Yoshi's
awesome.
Cookie.
Ooh, nice.
But it's kind of weird. It's like the Nintendo branding is suspiciously absent.
Do you remember when Odyssey came out and they would use like this ad would be? I can't point because I can't. I have no depth perception. But that Mario with the chef hat is probably only in that ad.
Yeah.
And that's in our Odyssey.
Yeah.
Because that's really how obscure it got.
Yeah.
They had like calendars with like Mario and like a little like a Western cowboy outfit
that's
and
cool.
they just used that for it.
What's that cookie? I recognize all the other
that's
ones.
That's a donut.
Flat
that's
donut.
That's a very flat donut.
But this company, Bulletproof Software, are actually the ones that developed Yoshi's Cookie.
What do you mean you recognize the other cookies?
Well, you haven't seen these
one,
ones before.
One could be a flan.
Like that's like a thumbprint cookie. It's a variation of the thumbprint cookie. That's the one with the candied
famous.
Cherry on top
deep
of it.
Cookie lore.
That's some shortbread something or other. But yeah, that's that chocolate vanilla checkerboard whatever cookie.
And a donut.
And a flat donut or a pretzel. Who knows?
Maybe it's the Girl Scout cookie that has the coconut flakes and the stripes of chocolate on it. That's a donut.
No, that's
shape.
That's a solid, not
Samoa,
it doesn't have a
Samoa.
Hole. Yeah, that I don't think that. Oh, that does have a hole in it.
And then Mario's
we did it.
Mario's missing.
I don't think we did.
Mario's missing gets a 2-page spread.
Ooh. Why?
Also not developed by Nintendo. This is developed by Software Toolworks.
Yeah, I remember playing that game and going, "Wow, this is clearly not developed by."
I have
Nintendo.
This game on my desk.
Cool.
For PC.
Feels weird.
There's three Nintendo games that came out for PC right around then. I have them.
Feels weird, man. In the letters to the editor section, they have the readers wrote in with a correction of their own. They said, I was wondering why Blanca's name was spelled as Bronca in your May 1993 issue. And they actually mean in the game. There was a screenshot where Blanca showed up as Bronca.
That's an Easter egg.
Yeah. Well, the editor says, guys, slow down a minute. Remember that Capcom only had an 80% finished copy available. The Bronca name was one of those glitches that should be corrected in the final copies. Hmm.
That's cool.
So that's good.
I bet that game code is super rare now too.
Yeah,
to have
pretty good.
Made.
An ad for Pocky and Rocky on Super Nintendo that says the best Super NES game yet or ever.
Right.
It's a lot of
could be.
It's bold.
Pretty hype.
It's bold by Natsume.
Yep. Hype train.
It's because they wanted alignment.
Yeah.
Is Pocky and Rocky a
this is my
of
magazine experience coming
yeah,
to you.
Right. There you go. Your print
in 2019.
We're going to page 18. Oh yeah, I had never heard of this. Tell me if you've heard of this thing. This is another letter. It said, "Lately, I've been hearing a lot about barcode systems in your magazine. What exactly are these new things? Does the barcode battler play games or what? I've never ever heard about the barcode battler until you printed an article about it in your International Outlook section. Will the barcode battler be coming out in North America? It might be worthwhile to check out." Is anyone familiar with the barcode battler?
Please explain.
Nope.
It's like a thing that caught on in Japan. They tried to make it catch on here. It was a little system that didn't have a screen, but you'd swipe barcodes from anything, and it would generate a character that could go on a quest. But it was just like
what
it
do
would
you mean
generate,
it doesn't have a screen?
It would generate like a name and like stats for your character, like health and strength.
That's like what's the game where you put the CDs in the PlayStation?
Like
and
Monster
makes
Rancher.
Monster Rancher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Except this like you.
Here's a fun fact: Monster Rancher was the second hardest 20 questions game we ever had after Enter the Freaking Gecko last week.
Yeah, so exactly.
Freaking Gecko.
Enter the Gecko.
Yeah. The Got Barcode Battler was not as popular here as it was in Japan.
No.
In the reviews, in the review section, they review Pocky and Rocky, and they gave it 2 9s and 2 8s.
Damn.
The best Super Nintendo game yet or ever.
Ever.
False.
Apparently not.
Out of there. False.
Have you played Pocky and Rocky?
I remember hearing about Pocky and Rocky, but it
you're
was
no
not...
better no, than listen. The worst.
No, oh, whatever. Oh, right. It's better than Zelda or Mario or any of those games that were out at the time.
I'm just saying, you got to play a game before you criticize it.
Pocky and Rocky, you let me know.
Okay, they we'll reviewed... get a copy. We're going to play it.
They reviewed Ninja Warriors, which I only bring up because that is being remade and released like this month, I think.
Ninja Warrior.
On current systems, yeah. And it's just an arcade like beat 'em up game.
Well, but special. Then there's the game called Ninja Warrior, which is a
single
three
warrior?
Arcade
no,
monitors.
That's this game. That's this
okay.
game.
Well, why does it look like it's just one?
Because you can't do that on a home system.
Yeah, that's no fun.
That's the rub, Sam.
Three.
Yeah. They reviewed Star Trek The Next Generation on Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, not crazy about that one. Did you play that one?
No, but I did play. I really liked the Star Trek Next Generation for NES, and it might be the same game. It's a very slow pace. That looks like it. It's like a slow paced adventure game where you're looking at the scene. I like it though.
It got 2 7s, a 5, and a 6.
Nice.
On that one. And
engage.
They reviewed Battletoads and Ragnarok's World for the Game Boy. You played that one?
Never heard of it.
I've played it, but yeah, a long, long time ago because I was a big Battletoads fan. But
it got 3 8s and a 7. But the one that gave it a 7, I think he overrated it a little bit. He says Battletoads are everywhere. After an impressive showing on the Super NES, it's a little hard to play this version, but it's worth a look. Same ideas, different plot. The animation is good, and the screen is somewhat tolerable. If you must pick up a new Game Boy game this year, you may want to pick this one up.
That's weird.
I got a new Game Boy game.
Yeah. Why is he comparing it, though, to the SNES one? I mean, I guess, like, because that would be based more on something Nintendo.
93, that would be much more recent.
It read more like a 4 to me.
Yeah, it read pretty low.
Ouch. Battletoads, great game.
I agree. Let's jump ahead to page, 42 for the top 10s. The top 10s of the month. These are the best-selling games based on Babbage's sales.
Mm. Cool. So there's still just NES games there?
No, we got everything here. So on NES...
Like it's late for NES, really, right? No, it's 91?
93.
93, yeah, that's super late. Yoshi's Cookie, yeah.
Yoshi's Cookie's number 2, but Tecmo NBA Basketball was the best-selling game of the month.
That was good, yeah.
I've played that lots. Tecmo Basketball?
Yeah, I love it when you just like pull up for three-pointer, go into this like close-up animation of your hands, and you'd shoot.
Just like Double Dribble.
They
ripped off Double Dribble.
Well, it was a whole bunch of things, like Arch Rivals. Yeah,
Double Dribble, third hardest game we ever had in 20 questions.
Double Dribble. There are so many good games in that era.
It's a real running theme here.
Those are actual 20 questions games, and they were so hard.
This is where Damon gets all of them, not from reading.
You think they were harder than Spy Hunter? Spy Hunter was last week.
Week?
I feel like Tecmo was still riding high off, their sports games from the NES era, obviously.
On Super Nintendo, Star Fox was the best-selling game.
Yes.
On Genesis, it was X-Men. I don't know if it's a port. Is it a port of the arcade?
I thought that was X-Men and Spider-Man versus arcade for Genesis, and that was a pretty cool game, and it had Spider-Man in it.
I've never heard of this Sega CD game. Jaguar XJ220. Is the best-selling Sega CD game.
No idea. What are some of the other ones that you recognize in that top 10?
Road Avenger, The Adventures of Willie Beamish, Afterburner 3.
Afterburner 3.
There's one.
I didn't even play that. Like, I owned a Sega CD that year and played it a lot, and I've never heard of any of those games.
Yeah.
Wonder what was I playing? Yeah, I'm such an idiot kid.
On Game Boy, Super Mario Land 2.
Naturally.
Remember, that system was like 4 years old at this point.
Yeah, 6 golden coins, still selling.
Yep,
man.
What page is that?
46? So good.
Oh, we're going to jump ahead. What is this game? This two-page ad for the Sega Genesis game called Global Gladiators, and they call it Game of the Year. Have you ever even heard of this game?
Mm-mm.
And then they list out some quotes.
Wait, in an ad they call it Game of the Year?
Yeah, how editorially questionable is that? Does it say special advertising section anywhere?
No, it doesn't say anything
interactive here.
They just include some blurbs from reviews.
And there's quotes from other magazines.
But I don't think they say anything about it being Game of the Year. It just says, Global Gladiators is one of the highest rated games ever to appear on the Genesis, and that's from Sega Visions magazine. Just like,
what?
Like that.
But see, when you made claims back in 93, no one could distribute them, really. It
I
was
have
not
a lot
like
problems with the editorial sales separation.
Exactly.
Here.
It's like, you just call it the best ever since sliced bread. It's fine.
Yeah.
The Game Doctor. This is where people could write in with tech questions about games. And the Game Doctor says, as an addendum to last issue's letter from a reader who was asked to turn off his Game Boy on a commercial airliner.
What?
The doc was recently asked to not use his Walkman tape player on a plane.
Wow.
You can do all of that now.
First of all, in 1993, you should have had a CD player.
Not yet.
It's right on the cusp.
No, because CD players were not good as portable because they always skipped. So.
My first CD player was a Sega CD.
It's part of the charm.
Yeah, but... yeah.
Says the tape player was not likely to create any problems, but airline folks are sufficiently nervous these days that they asked me not to use it. There's a lot of controversy surrounding the subject, with pilots having voice complaints about instrument interference from our toys and gizmos.
Wow. If they had only have realized what was to come.
Yes.
Jeez.
People had a problem with phones on airplane mode for a long time.
Well, I remember some of my first few flights, I remember seeing like the cigarette lighter trays in the seats in the middle of them. And you're like, are these used for anything? Like, no.
Well, like now they have, federally, I think it's mandated that they have this smoking sign still.
Yes.
But they're just always on. You can never smoke.
Exactly. Yeah. And they give you the message.
There's like, one guy just waiting desperately for the light
to go. Well, that's the thing.
On.
If the lights go off, I have a pack ready.
Clearly.
I'm not a smoker. I would never.
It's clear that you are.
It'd be fun on a plane. Yeah. I would start.
Well, it's good for you and everyone.
You should just do
sharing
just
with more
people. A cigar.
Yeah, even better. Yeah.
Your big pipe, actually.
A big Churchill.
All right, in the next wave section for previews, this is new soft news. It's CES time again, and this is before E3, so they got really excited about CES. Here is but a brief list of what to expect from the companies at this summer's CES show in Chicago. Nintendo certainly isn't slowing down these days. They have two new games in the works for the Super NES system. Remember Wario from the second Game Boy Adventure? Well,
Wario was kind of obscure at the time. I mean,
Well, he's starring in a new game called Mario and Wario.
Cool. That never came out here.
This game is expected to be a mouse game, but no further details were given.
A mouse game?
Huh. I don't think it used the mouse.
Mouse. I can't remember, but it came out in Japan. Didn't come out here.
Also, look for Yoshi's Road Hunting on its way to the Super NES.
I think that might have been Yoshi's Safari.
Yoshi's Safari.
Okay, yeah. Wow, my brain was just like, are we killing Yoshi? Is Yoshi killing other people? Wow, dark. That's
pretty good. And then there's a preview for Super Mario Collection, which would be Super Mario All-Stars.
Oh, nice. Right. Oh, so good. Those remastered games.
That's the first time I've seen them on the collection. They have a preview for Castlevania Bloodlines on the Sega Genesis, which is really, really good.
Yep.
Like, you can tell, especially for these Japanese games, these previews of Japanese games are being written by people for whom English is not their first language. I like the caption to this screenshot is just, "It is up to the hero of Castlevania."
Giant enemy crab.
And then, this is it. The first picture of Castlevania Bloodlines.
That's kind of cool.
Can you make anything out?
That. Oh, it's all
just
dark.
Like, you can't even like make anything. And it just says, this is it. The first picture of Castlevania Bloodlines.
Ah, what so we used to get excited for.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it's a bullshot?
That was definitely a bullshot.
Maybe a reverse bullshot.
Yeah, reverse bullshot. You just screw your
game. It actually looks better in person.
Camp California.
What am I looking for?
Pick Mortal Kombat. Ugh.
Here we go. Here we go. Oh, yeah. There's an ad for this EGM Super Tour 93.
Whoa.
What was that show like? How did EGM the magazine go on a tour and put on a show?
July 15th.
I wonder if they had like game stations.
It says coming to a city near you. It was like all in these different cities on the same day.
Okay. We'll look up some videos because there's probably like local news coverage of it.
Yeah. Maybe there's something on YouTube for that. And, oh yeah, you ever heard of this game Camp California?
Nope.
Nope.
Let me read you the synopsis. This is coming to Turbo Duo. The boys of the beach, what a bum deal. The big cheese is going to turn the beach into a nuclear power plant. To stop him, Byron Bear must rescue the Camp California band and their instruments. To do this, Byron needs to collect tires for his vehicle, the Woody, and travel through different cities collecting cans to recycle for fuel, collect hearts to replenish life and use different characters as you rescue them from certain situations.
Man.
Is that a straw?
Yeah.
Why is that straw so long?
He can't be bothered.
He's so chill and laid back.
Yeah.
Man. Well, we'll get into the Chernobyl conversation again. But The Simpsons really did bring the whole nuclear power. Ooh, it was bad. Like that was 91, 92. It's crazy. It's you're gonna change it, the beach into a power plant. Seems pretty logical.
I can't even tell what type of game that is.
It looks to be a side-scrolling platform.
Is it like a Fester's Quest-esque?
I don't think there's any top-down segments, though. Okay. And then at that EGM show, there's a Bomberman 93 Championship.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm. I remember actually...
Esports in 93.
I remember being in Star Fox Championships and playing the Star Fox Championship
card. You did that?
Part. Yeah, I did that. I actually have a shirt.
Really?
Yeah, I got... I scored a 95 out of 100. I missed the...
Do you still wear that shirt?
I actually have that shirt at my house in Saskatchewan. So yeah, I know.
No.
I've played that card. It's interesting.
It is. It's cool.
It's like it resets after like the first level.
Yeah.
There's a preview of Bubble Bobble 2 on NES.
Yeah. Ooh. It's a very rare game.
Yeah, it was.
I have it.
different.
But it would have been like 10 years later at this point, right?
Yeah.
93? Yeah, well, Bubble Bobble, you know, happened in 86 or 87, right? And then, like, it was really popular on NES. But then they did this game called Rainbow Island, which is called The Story of Bubble Bobble 2.
Yeah.
But that's a different game. And then Bubble Bobble Part 2 came out in 94.
Yeah.
That's why it's rare.
They missed that window to capitalize. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a look. What was going on in July 1993?
Crazy.
That was like yesterday.
Electronic Gaming Monthly.
It does.
Good.
It is so good.
This is also from Blades of Steel.
Blades of Steel. Oh.
Wait. One sec. Check this out. Here it goes.
Oh, so good. I love April music.
It's so good. And then wait.
There's so much like instrumentation going on.
It's great. Mm-hmm. It's really good. That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Dave Brown in the UK. He says, "Hey, Damon and the Scoop Patrol. Should I be proud that I got Gex Enter the Gecko correct?"
Yes, you should. Mm. Nicely done.
He did misspell
Gex. Way to rub it in.
He misspelled Gex.
Oh, so. False. You didn't get it.
Negative just 10 like points we to Gryffindor.
Maybe it was spelled that way in the UK. Does it just have an extra U?
He says, "I thought I'd offer a suggestion for this week's 20 questions that will offer a different kind of challenge."
Oh, God.
Interesting.
Let the questioning begin.
That's two eye patches next week. It's not going to.
All right, let's break it down to the year.
All right,
let's do it.
Tina,
Is it on current generation consoles?
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Would this have been a game before 1990?
No.
Released before
2000.
Was it released before 2000? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. 90s game.
10-year window. That's good. We got to take a look at these. Should we ask the question? Would this game have been featured in the magazine we just looked
at?
Could it have been featured
July
in the
magazine? July 1993
issue? Well, that's
going to
be a yes, don't ask that question.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. If it was from 1997, it couldn't be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could it have been featured in this issue of EGM? Yes.
Okay.
So it's from that 16-bit-ish, 8-bit-ish era.
Yeah.
Is it multi-platform?
Yes.
Okay.
That's 5.
Did it have a portable version?
Yes.
Mm. Ooh.
Was there sequels?
Yes.
Mm, that's a good one.
Okay, so.
Is this based on a license?
No.
Mm, do you play in the first person perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I love these tricky ones.
No, it's good because he didn't say yes or no.
Yeah.
So it's a nice.
So we know there's a weird in between.
Yeah, there's some kind of mode there. Because that eliminates platformers and a bunch
abstractly, of things. Yes. I think you play in the first person.
Interesting.
Remember, this guy is from the UK.
Yeah.
And he said it would be something spooky.
Yeah.
He said he wants something spooky.
Now, what did he say exactly?
We have to think outside the box.
Yeah.
Is it even a video game?
That question is good, though.
But as a portable version.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, what does that
abstractly.
Mean?
Abstractly. Like, do you control a character, but you, as the player, are acknowledged, maybe?
Hmm.
Like, is it like some kind of Sims? No.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, you're controlling.
Yeah.
No,
God's because you don't play in first person. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I feel like this eliminates a lot of what I would have guessed, like a mm-hmm. Nintendo franchise platform or all that mm-hmm. other stuff.
Was this designed in Japan?
No. That's 10.
Wow, we really burned through those first 10, guys.
We really did.
Well, we learned a lot.
We did learn.
We know nothing.
We learned a lot today.
Yeah, outside of 20 questions.
Do you think this game would be on a top 100 list for the consoles that it was on?
Yes.
That gets us nowhere.
What if we
I'm
keep
still stuck on this abstract first person thing. Should we ask if it's also third person and see what he says then?
You can ask
abstractly,
you want.
Yes.
I feel like we should ask a couple other questions to narrow down the genre.
Yeah.
I still don't know what platforms it's on.
Is it a strategy?
No, I know, but I feel like it could be on a bunch of
Do you consider Sims a strategy game? What is Sims? Just city builder? Yeah,
like godlike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it a city builder?
No.
Okay, so there goes that theory.
Because mm-hmm, it could have been SimCity. Was this on the NES?
Yes.
Okay, that helps a lot.
Okay, so... Okay, yeah, because it could straddle that sort of like early generation of.
It has to be something like, you know, late ubiquitous Nintendo. If it was on so many different platforms. And it would be like, you know, somewhat well received. So
you asked if there were sequels. He said yes.
He did say yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like talking about Damon like he's not here.
Yeah. So until he reacts.
But the abstract first person thing is like really strange. I know. Yeah. Yes. So that would be like. It could be a strategy game.
Yeah, but strategy, you don't really.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, I guess actually you do. Well, because in Civilization, like, you do play. Like, you are a character in the game.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of like Sid Meier's Pirates or like something like that.
Is it a Sid Meier's game?
Whoa, let's ask if it's a strategy game.
Yeah.
Is it a strategy game?
Probably not. Like,
in an abstract way.
It's adjacent. Strategy adjacent. But if you're going to put it into one bucket, you probably wouldn't pick the strategy.
Okay.
Bucket.
So I feel like it's.
So it has strategy elements.
I feel like it's RPG almost more so than.
I wonder if I'm totally off track with the you are the character abstract thing. What's a game that has strategy elements? Was a successful series.
There's so many Japanese games that are like, you know,
Final Fantasy, or
turn-based stuff on the NES, and it's not going to be one of those.
No. Any kind of like tower defense?
There's like Rampart and like board game type stuff. Do you take turns in this game?
No.
Boss music time.
That's 15.
Uh-oh. Oh, nice. The Battletoads boss music.
We're screwed now.
You're so good at identifying tunes. I'm really impressed.
I spent a lot of time in this fighting those Battletoad bosses. Baddies.
Would you say this is from a top-down perspective?
No.
See, that's what...
Like an isometric game?
That would have eliminated all this stuff from the start. Yeah. Now
I feel like I want to ask if it's either like a racing game or a...
for a racing game, you are the character too.
Yeah, that like or a pilot game or something like that.
Well, it still has to have some strategy elements.
You could. I mean, if you're behind a ship or something like that.
Yeah.
How have we not gotten closer than this? If like it's an NES game on everything, we've probably all played it. Well, it's probably just sitting out there on my desk.
So let's ask if it's a flying game. That's the only thing that I can think
why
of.
Why would you think? I don't see
because
how
it's
we
a
got
first
to
person. Like it's like first
because it has first person
elements,
and that makes sense because you can go into different modes if it's a driving game or some kind of piloting game.
But no driving games on NES were ever. Well, there were some cockpit ones.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And if they had sequels, there might be something like, not Afterburner, but...
What's the outside the box angle, though? Like, what kind of weird game would this be? And be on Game Boy, presumably, and NES.
That's what I mean. Like to me, it's not a sports game, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got to be maybe some kind of racing game, some kind of flying game.
Does this have multiplayer?
I think you've already asked that in a way.
No, I didn't.
No, in what way?
Well, he said, like, can you take turns or whatever?
That's different.
There's lots of games you can take turns.
I guess, but I feel like, okay.
Well, that is old school multiplayer. You take turns.
Some of the ports have multiplayer.
Ooh, ports. So something successful enough to come
I think it's
out.
Lemons.
Is how many questions? How many?
You have 3 questions left.
So 2 questions and a guess.
That might be too strategy or puzzle-y for this.
We could
that
eliminate.
That was on everything.
It was. Yeah, and I mean.
It's definitely on NES. It's definitely on Game Boy.
It's also on PC, obviously. And then, you want to ask that? If was this game on PC?
No, I would almost call it. Did he say it has strategy elements?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. I don't know. I mean, that matches up everything, so we can either eliminate it or we can try to like go wider still.
Right.
And it has sequels.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know where to go from here, but...
Do you want to eliminate Lemmings by asking kind of a question that...
A leading question?
Yeah.
Does this game have a self-destruct button in it?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Sam, good guess.
It's Lemmings.
It is Lemmings.
There it
nice.
Is. Wow.
Nice move, Sam.
Mega Man.
You can take that eye patch off now.
Yes.
Throw it on the ground.
You've earned your sight back.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Yeah, Lemmings. I think
nice throw.
I think it'd probably fall in the puzzle category, but certainly is like a lot of strategy involved in
that. Well, once we kind of eliminated the sim games, I did not, it my brain wasn't whole, thinking Lemmings.
Yeah, definitely
like, okay,
not.
Lemmings, SimCity, I was categorized as all kind of.
If we would have asked if the developer is still around, what would you say?
I would have said yes.
Yeah.
Because it's Rockstar North.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that would not have helped us at all.
No, not really.
And then, so Tina, I say first person abstractly because I think you're supposed to be just like you seeing the lemmings and giving them orders, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. It's some kind of strategy element where you're conducting.
Who are you
part
in
of the
lemmings?
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're you, I guess.
Are you a human?
And why do they listen to you?
Yeah.
But you totally are targeting them and telling them all what to do. You're not anything but some third party.
You control their
destiny. Well, even like, any kind of strategy game is the same, like Warcraft or Starcraft or whatever. Yeah.
And since it has that aiming reticle, that's like first person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to tell what perspective that is.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, typically in all those other games, it's just top down. But what that question?
Yeah, abstract.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, really threw us.
Still platforming, but not really.
Well, what clicked for you?
I don't know.
Yeah, what was it?
Eventually you were just had to go into my mind palace for a little bit. You couldn't see this, but I actually closed this eye and really thought.
Yeah. That's your superpower?
Mind palace.
We're often in meetings and Sam is like, wait a minute.
Sam, there's a special spot right here for you.
You can do it. You can cover it with your bangs or your hair.
Yeah, exactly. Let me take a moment.
Yeah.
Shut down for a second.
Good boss music. Good intro music, good victory music.
Yeah.
Those were all really solid.
That was
I feel
fun.
Good about
and
that.
And nicely job.
Nicely job.
Yeah.
Nicely job.
Thank you, too. Again, that was
Mr. Dave Brown in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dave.
Good suggestion.
Yeah.
We do have a shorter week here at IGN. CJ, are you getting crazy for Canada Day tonight?
Yeah, I'm getting crazy for Canada Day by getting ready to go to Guardian Con, which is a destiny.
Is that this weekend?
That's July. So we're leaving on the 4th, and it's 5th, 6th, 7th over in
Florida.
Is there a single tradition? Sorry, what did you say?
Oh, nothing. I was just going to make an America thing.
Yeah.
I was just going to make it about America. Like
It's similar. I mean, there are like Canada Day parades and celebrations and fireworks and stuff like that. But definitely I would say that in America,
there a tradition you can like bring, you know, home tonight where your kids are like, yay, we're doing this because it's Canada Day?
See, it's one of those things that once you're a Canadian inside America, you can wave your Canadian flag around and go, yay, and everybody's like, get to work. It's not Canada Day in America. I am still here. So it is one of those things where you just kind of like go, yay, and I send my parents and they send me photos of them at parades and stuff, and I go, well, it's July 4th for me down here.
It's just sad because you're not allowed to take off the 4th of July either because you're Canadian, and that's just weird.
Yeah,
it's
Do you sing that How I Met Your Mother song?
Always, yeah.
Let's go to the mall.
That's the theme. No, most people don't even, I would say you guys probably can't even sing the Canadian national anthem. Most people.
Probably.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. No, you cannot. Yeah.
I can't even sing the American anthem. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
get out of here.
Canada.
Hey, Sam.
Do, do, do.
There it is. Do, 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 do. That's good. At least you know the first
Our
two letters.
Land in something.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. You did okay.
So anyways, it's fun. We know that it's happening for the people north of the border.
And then awesome. Sam, you're traveling next week?
Yep, I'm going to Japan for a couple weeks. I've never been. I've gotten a lot of advice from you two on going to Japan recently, and I'm
very jealous.
Excited about it. Yeah. Not going to Tokyo though, going everywhere else, which should be interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll definitely be looking forward to your report, but I'm just you're missing just next week or 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Okay, well, so we're going to get
No. I'm missing the rest of this week and all of next week.
Next week,
Okay. I'll be back for Scoop Back.
Okay, cool.
Gotcha. If you need me.
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll soldier on without you next week, and I'll tell Justin that you lost 20 questions and he has to wear the eye patch.
That'd be great.
He has to get his own.
He'll just watch
patch.
The episode.
All right, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Tina. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.